I cannot escape his presence. Even if I try to, he will never stop pursuing me. If I'm in the darkest place in my life and I'm trying to run away from God because I'm so upset for what's happening in my life, God, make it make sense. He is still chasing after you. I got good news for you. Normally, when I preach on a Sunday morning, I have 3 pages. I only have a page and a half. Because we know you're all tired, and that bed is calling all of us.
Yes, it is.
Okay? I can hear it from my house. It's like, come. Yes. Hey, so we're in the series, Make It Make Sense. And the question that I want to answer tonight is this. Where is God when I don't feel his presence in my life? Where is God when I don't feel his presence in my life? Being a youth pastor for so many years, I had kids, when we go away to camp, that had these amazing camp experiences. And they're like, I feel like God and I are one, like he is so close to me. And then we'd come back down the mountain or we'd come away from the lake and get back to real life. And they'd be like, Pastor Matt, where's God? I don't feel him anymore. And this was a cycle that happened over and over and over again until one summer camp on cry night, as the kids call it, cry night, because they knew whoever's speaking, they're going to bring the gospel and we're going to be convicted. We're going to cry. We're going to feel so close to God that the worship team started playing a song. And I didn't know this, but this was like the cry song. And so they started playing How He Loves. You know that song? Oh, how he loves me. Yeah, there's a reason I'm not on the worship team. And I'm standing in the back. My brother-in-law, Tyler, he's an elder actually at a church in town. He was speaking at that camp. This is when I was in Northern California. So before you try to think which student this was, not from this church, my last church, okay? Now, the song came on and all the girls were like, oh, and they're like this. And there's one boy in the back, right? And I'm standing behind him. So this is what I see. I'm like, what is happening right now? And all of them, right when like the second note hit, crying. Because they had ramped up, because they hadn't felt God's presence. They thought that at this moment, away at camp, away separated from all the issues at home, all the things that are going on, this is the song, this is the moment. And it was like all this pent up emotion was ready to come out so they could feel close to God. And I don't know if any of you have experienced that. On August 20th, 2002, is the closest I've ever felt to God. That was the night that I surrendered my life to Christ. And as Ezekiel says, God removes the heart of stone and he gives you a heart of flesh. I'll never forget that night. But in 23 years now, is that math right? Yeah, so she's 23 years now. I've never felt that same thing. And so how do we reconcile this? I don't feel God's presence, but how can my faith be built so it's not determined by how I feel? Because if my faith's built on emotions, man, when life is good, God is right by me, and it's like a roller coaster. I get bad news at work. I get bad health news. Something happens down here. God, where are you? God, I don't sense you. God, have you abandoned me? And so I want to answer this question, say, make it make sense. How come, where is God when I don't feel like he's close? Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He says, so Jesus said to the Jews, that's who's listening to him, who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, what does it mean to abide? To truly dwell and live within his word. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Anywhere in there was emotions. No, it was truth. And this is the one point I want to leave with you tonight. And then believe it or not, I only have 2 passages we're going through. I normally have like 40. Here's the point. God's presence isn't based on our feelings, but the truth of God's word. God's presence, I want to repeat that, is not based on our feelings, but the truth of God's word. And so the next time you're in that dry season, you're like, man, I don't sense God's near me. I feel like I'm alone out there. I feel like he's hidden from me. You can fall back onto God's word. And my hope is the passage, the one passage I go through tonight, the two passages I go through tonight, would be sources of comfort for you. When you're not feeling it, you can lean back on his word. You can abide in his word and trust that what his word says, okay? And so the psalm that we're going to go through is probably the most famous psalm of all. It's Psalm 23. It's only six verses. But I'm going to work our way slowly through it, and I'm going to share with you some of the meaning of the Hebrew words. Anyone fluent in ancient Hebrew in here? Yeah? Neither am I. But thankfully, there's tools for us pastors where we can find those Greek, those Hebrew and Greek words and give a depth of understanding that will hopefully open your eyes to the truth of where God is when you don't feel him, okay? So let's dive into it. Psalm 23. Now, this is going to get annoying because this is what I do with my students in class. I tell them to read a verse, and they get halfway through, and I go, stop! And I explain. I'm like, Mr. Moore, just let me read. So I'm going to do that a bunch of times in here. So when I'm not saying the words on the screen, I'm giving explanation. If you're like, wait, that's not up there. What's going on? Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to pause there because the word Lord there, typically in your Bibles, it's all capital letters. And when you see that it's all capital letters, that's the proper name of God. That's Yahweh. That's the great I am. That God, the one God, Yahweh, is my shepherd. And don't think shepherd is a title. It's a role that he's playing in your life. The Hebrew word for shepherd conveys that he is tending us, he's feeding us, he's guiding us, and he's protecting us. It's this idea of a comprehensive care that God has for his sheep. In context, it's not just a title, but a relational role. God himself is the one who is personally guiding us. Let that truth sit in your hearts. God is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. Do you see how it's personalized? It doesn't say our. It says my. I can rest in this. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, of all the animals, sheep are the dumbest. Did you know this? If a shepherd leads a sheep to a rushing river for a drink, they'll walk right in and drown because they see water and they don't notice, it's going really fast. Maybe I shouldn't step into that water, okay? So the idea of still waters, the sheep can walk in. They can get a drink. They're not going to get washed away. What are green pastures? That's the good food. He's not taking him to the weeds and the thorns and the dry area. He's taking him to the green, so they have plenty. I love how this imagery tells us how God's caring for us. And then it says this, he restores my soul. The sense of this Hebrew word here is a reviving when faint or lost. Not just comfort, but renewal. I know I said I wasn't going to bring any other passages in, but it's impossible for me, sorry. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us that even though outwardly we're wasting away, daily we're being renewed on the inside. This is what God does for us. He restores us on the inside. Even when I don't feel him, I can rest in his word. I can spend some time praying. God, here's my day. I give it to you. Would you guide my steps? Would you restore my soul? Lamentations, his mercies are new every morning. This is what God has promised for us, and we can bank on his promises. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you don't have to feel like God is distant from you. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The idea of the shadow of death here. This is not talking about physical peril, physical danger. What it's talking about is any season where God feels hidden from us. Isn't that amazing? The valley of the shadow of death is when it feels like we're hemmed in on all sides. The sun can't break through. God, where are you? God, I don't feel you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The context in the Hebrew here, it should be for you, exclamation point. You, God, are with me. And we read through this so fast, but another key word in there is the word through. What does the word through mean? There's an ending. So even when you feel like you're in the midst of the darkest valley of your life, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is the Lord. And my shepherd, Jesus, is walking with me to that light, even if I don't sense it. Even when I'm like, God, where are you? Why is your face hidden from me? But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, God, you are with me. And at this point, it's the hinge point of the psalm. And it changes from here on out. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, a shepherd would carry a rod. Okay, I like my Irish heritage here. Irish shepherds would call this a shillelagh. It's one of my favorite words to say. I don't know why. It's a good word, right? Shillelagh. Was that on your bingo card tonight? Yeah. A shillelagh is basically a wood stick with a knot at the end of it. That's the rod, right? And so when the wolves come, what does the shepherd do? Yeah, he smacks those wolves upside the head and says, get away from my sheep, right? Why do I need to fear no evil? Because God is the one protecting me with his shillelagh. Okay, go back. I'm not done. Your staff, they comfort me. So the staff is that shepherd's crook, right? You know, the big old hook, right? Did you know that's what we get candy canes from? Yeah. At Christmas time is referencing as Jesus as our shepherd, right? And that hook is meant as I'm a dumb sheep and I'm walking and look, I have a cliff right here. And I'm like, oh, I'm a sheep and I'm walking and I'm about to go off the cliff. The shepherd will put that hook around my neck and go, nope, let me bring you back on that path. It's meant to guide us. So not only does he protect us, but he guides us. And that brings me comfort. Imagine if you let this truth sink in. God, I don't feel you, but I'm going to trust what your word says. I know that you're close to me like a shepherd. I know that even though you feel hidden in this valley, that you are walking beside me, and I know that your rod is protecting me. I know that your staff is guiding me, and that brings me comfort, God. Because I'm resting it on the truth of your word and not my feelings. Because my feelings can be deceptive. Now I want to pause here. Feelings aren't evil. God created every single one of us with feelings. Feelings are beautiful, but we can't base our faith off of our feelings. It goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is wild. The Hebrew here, it's like he's hosting a feast for me, and he's letting my enemies be there too. Because I trust that even if my enemies are there, my shepherd is good. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I know that when God feels distant, it feels like our cup has run empty. We've all been there. Some of you might be there right now. Just know that you can always go to his word. You can always spend time in prayer. You can always surround yourself with godly men and godly women that are encouragement, and they help the Lord fill that cup for you. When you look at the calendar, you go, is it the first Wednesday of the month? Come get that cup filled. every Sunday. I know the bed and the covers feel great as it starts to get cooler. I love the cold weather. I'm built for the north. My wife and I are just saying, it's cold this morning. We're like, yes, cold this morning. I know the covers are saying stay in bed, but you get up and you come to church because it refills your cup so much so that it overflows. Don't miss out on those opportunities. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many days?
All
of them. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's one word I want to focus on that, and that's the word follow. You want to hit the next slide? The word follow in Hebrew is radaf, radaf, okay? When I hear surely goodness and mercy will follow me, you know what picture I get when I read it in English, follow me? I see my little 17-pound French bulldog following me around. Your goodness and mercy is following me around. Come on, Lucy. Come on. That's not what it means. It means that God's goodness and radical love is chasing me down. I cannot escape his presence. Even if I try to, he will never stop pursuing me. If I'm in the darkest place in my life and I'm trying to run away from God because I'm so upset for what's happening in my life, God, make it make sense. He is still chasing after you. You know the song, Goodness of God, that we sing? Your goodness is running after me. Hey, now you know what verse it comes from. Did you know all the worship songs we sing come from Scripture? Yeah. So when we sing them back, we're literally singing God's truth back to him. Saying, God, I'm abiding in your truth. I'm singing this back to you because I believe it. I know it. God, your goodness and your mercy are chasing after me. Can we get the translators and say, rewrite this? It's chasing after me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some people get cancer diagnoses that are terminal. Where does our hope come from? That I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if I have 3 more months, 3 more years, or 30 more years, I rest in the fact that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not because of anything that I've done, but because I have a good shepherd who has opened the sheep gate and has welcomed me in. I rest on that truth, even when I can't feel it. Jesus played off of this picture in Psalm 23, the greater David. David wrote Psalm 23, and Jesus is the promised king that was going to come from the line of David. And look what he says in John chapter 10. He says, I, next verse, am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who doesn't own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Is there emotions there? No, we need to know these truths, and we need to bury them in our hearts. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Remember, he's talking to the Jews. And now he's saying, and I'm bringing all the Gentile sheep in too. And we're all going to come together because they will listen to my voice. They will listen to my voice. It is a treasure and a gift that we have the freedom in this country to own a Bible and to open the Bible and to talk about the Bible and to worship. It is not that way everywhere. There are 56 Islamic countries where if you own a Bible, they want to kill you. And it's not Islamophobia, it's the truth. Christians are killed there. Since 2009, over 100,000 Christians in Nigeria have been slaughtered. 1,800 churches have been burned down, and they still worship God. So what's stopping us from opening our Bible? I got to get 10 more minutes on TikTok. I got to like 5 more posts on Facebook. That's meaningless. Invested in the thing that will never pass, that will never fade. Find your comfort in his word, because we know his voice and he welcomes us in. My hope for you, the next time you're feeling, God, where are you? Open Psalm 23 and read it. And read it again. And read it again. And let the truth soak in. Like, God, you're my shepherd, and I shall not want. You lead me to green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. You restore, you refresh my soul. You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, God. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For God, you are with me, and you prepare a table for me. And that table may be in the presence of my enemies, but you anoint my head with oil. You cover me. My cup, when it's with you, it overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't just read it, memorize it. So that when you're feeling like God's not there, you fall back on his truth, you fall back on his word, and you trust that he is who he says he is, and he is always there with you.